This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way. At the exact same time, like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
Bottom of the barrel Halloween food. I'll start. I'm ready to make people mad here. Smarties? No.
Whoa.
No.
You
know who needs Smarties?
I'm not.
You're offered a lifetime supply of Smarties. It's a silent auction. You're at a golf tournament. There's a lifetime supply of Smarties.
Uh-huh.
How much would you bid for that?
I'd bid $300.
$300? You know what? I'll take $300 from you right now, and I'll give you Smarties every day. And by day six, you'll be like, I've had the previous five packs. I haven't opened them yet. I can't decide if it's crazier that you ate a Cobb salad in a movie theater or would pay $300 for a lifetime supply of Smarties.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the Home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
I have still yet to receive a single pack of Smarties, by the way. I'm expecting a truckload on Halloween. Halloween, I think, I was listening to a podcast this week of what day of the week all the holidays fall on this year. Because July 4th falling on a Friday is pretty good. I think Halloween also falls on a Friday. I'm pretty sure. I'm going to double check that real quick. If it is, would that not imply it is a Friday? That the 4th of July and Halloween would be on the same day every year?
Ooh, that's interesting.
Wouldn't that make sense?
Yeah.
I think it would.
That does, right?
Because next year, the 4th is going to be on a Saturday, right?
Right.
And I would expect that the Halloween's going to be on a Saturday next year.
Yeah.
What
do you think the most, like, what holiday do you think benefits the most from being on a Friday, ooh, Saturday sort of prime time day?
Excellent question. I don't think Christmas works for that.
Yeah, Christmas is its own sort. It's a week long event.
And Christmas is most people get off, you know, multiple days around Christmas. So if you get the Friday off, you feel like maybe you are punting on a day of the week. You might get off on a Saturday, you know, like where opposed to if Christmas is on a Thursday, no one's working on that Friday, right?
No.
Or if you are, like, it's that everyone knows, like, yeah, mail it in today. Mail it in. It's the 26th.
I think that's the same with, like, New Year's Day as well, right? Like, that's
because
everyone gets New Year's Eve and New Year's Day off. I feel
not everyone gets New Year's Eve off, right?
No.
New Year's Day, though, everybody gets off.
Yes. That's true.
I'm pretty sure.
So maybe that's actually better to be on a Friday then.
That New Year's Day?
Yeah.
No, that you wouldn't want on a Friday, right?
No.
Because that. I guess, why is it different, though?
Yeah.
What is, as Josh is pointing this out, why is that different than the 4th of July or Halloween? The difference would be that the 4th of July, you're outside more, and Halloween is more at night.
Right.
That's the thing. Halloween, the activities are usually at night. Halloween party or trick-or-treating, all that usually ends by, what, 9? Yeah. And then 4th of July, you get fireworks at night. New Year's Day is just, you know,
it's
sleep in and recover, and you're probably going to bed early.
Right.
So I'm more ready for the next day.
Exactly.
So that one, I might be more inclined to have it in the middle of the week. Halloween and 4th of July, I think, are the two biggest ones.
I think, especially as a kid, when Halloween used to fall on, like, a Tuesday, and you're, like, for me, Halloween was always such a, you get back to school, and you're like, I got it, this sucks.
Yeah.
I'll look forward to Halloween, I guess, and the holidays. And, like, Halloween's the first sort of venture into that. And I think when it used to fall on, like, a Tuesday, and you just had to go to school on the day, and then had to go to school the next day, as a kid, you're like, this doesn't feel right. I don't like this. I feel like I should be off. I deserve to be off.
You're tired from the night before, and you're just like, oh, why am I here? But you do have all the candy, which is nice.
Right.
Which is going to make me more tired when I eat all of it in like a 48-hour span.
Where's Thanksgiving fall into this?
This year?
Or wait, that's always Thanksgiving. What am I saying?
Thanksgiving is always a Thursday.
Right. That's true.
Which is fine.
Yeah, that's...
And good.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. By the way, the Bills ended up not being on any of these holidays this year.
I know.
So, like, all the build-up to the schedule a couple of months ago, and you don't get any of them on one of these big holidays. So we'll keep going through the Bills schedule a little bit later today. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy's off today. We'll talk about the Panthers a little bit with Kyle Bailey from down in Charlotte. That'll be at 9 o'clock. That's the Bills' Week 8 opponent. That's a game I'd expect Bills fans to fill up the building. And we'll talk with my brother Lou DiBiase at 8 o'clock about the Bills. We'll skip ahead a little bit to their late season Week 17 game against Philadelphia, Super Bowl winners, and what's happened in their offseason. So that's coming a little bit later on in the show. There's a polarizing ranking of the Bills from Bill Barnwell that we are going to have to get to in short order here, but I actually wanted to start with a little bit of hockey because I saw the news yesterday about Gavin McKenna. Gavin McKenna, who is a generational, word is overused, so whatever. He's a great prospect, number one overall pick next year, like definitively. It would be stunning, I think, if something happened in the next year where he wasn't the top guy drafted. And correct me if I'm wrong, but he did like a LeBron-style The Decision on ESPN yesterday. I'm almost surprised they aired it, ESPN. Not, maybe it's a time of the year that really works for this, where there's not really much going on other than Wimbledon, and Wimbledon being in England is done by the time you get to, you know, 6, 7, 8 o'clock at night when SportsCenter airs. So, all right, this college kid who's going to be number one overall is picking his school. He wants to do it live on SportsCenter. Okay, sure. It's July 8th. We'll give him the floor for a couple of minutes. I guess that's kind of where you fall here. So he does that, and he decides on Gavin McKenna. He's going to college. Going to be the number one overall pick. He's awesome. He's going to Penn State. And, you know, I saw all the snarky Pegula remarks on Twitter after that happened. I had a different thought about McKenna when I saw that he's going to Penn State. And it was, I really wonder if the season starts really poorly. Because Pegula has obviously big, big connections to Penn State, right? Alma mater and built the arena, and he's been active in that program. So what are the odds he's going to get to know Gavin McKenna in the next year or just grow to love him if he's dominant for that team? And if, you know, they're, I don't know about the rest of the team, if they're like national championship level good. But if they are, and they are winning, and he's amazing, then I think it would be easy, if you're tied to that program, to fall in love with the kid. And I had the thought yesterday of, I wonder if if that starts happening and the Sabre season gets off to a really rough start, which I don't think is impossible, if the owner or just the team in general would just be inclined to say, you know, this is going down the tube anyway, let's just kind of punt on this season a little bit. Maybe that's when they would trade Bo Byram for a first-round pick and just stack draft pile assets. The reason I don't think that's probably realistic is because the Sabres don't have a second guy now. When they tanked 10 years ago, it was, okay, if we don't get the all-time great prospect, our consolation prize is we're still getting an amazing elite number one center. And I don't know enough about next year's draft to tell you if there's a second guy, but I haven't heard about a second guy. And I don't think you're punting on the season for just, you know, what is it, 18% of one player?
Yeah, I don't think. I think that's the allure of that 2015 season was that there were two prizes to go get, and you were guaranteed one of them if you were bad enough. And now you don't have that same guarantee of even picking second overall because of what happened in that season.
Right.
They changed the lottery rules, so now you can move around all over the board. So there's that, and then there's also just the reality of what this is here and what that would look like here. And I think
it would be a tough
that
look.
Would be catastrophic and
yeah.
probably be the end of a lot of people. They would it'd be the end of the rope for a lot of people, I think. If they were to make a conscious decision to say, yeah, we kind of think this is
yeah.
where this is going anyways, so let's nudge it along. I think any movement towards that just I think people here are done
sure.
and would not be able to reconcile with that, no matter how good McKenna is and no matter how good Penn State is with McKenna.
Right.
And Penn State was a really good college team last year, by the way. They were legit, and now they're adding him. They're going to be
okay.
a serious, serious program next year.
Yeah, he had 129 points in 56 games in the WHL last year.
He's a witch, that
yeah.
kid. If you got to just look up his highlights.
At 17, by the way.
Minutes. It's incredible to watch this kid play. He's really impressive. But I just don't – I don't know what it would do to people here.
Yeah.
Even if you ended up getting them, it'd be very exciting.
And but you're not going to get them. Because
you're not going to get them.
Your odds are so low. And I think you're making the right point, too. The reason they would never lean into anything like a rebuild again, or a tank especially, is what would it do to the ticket base?
Right.
What would it do to your customers? What would it do to your fans? Well, I mean, just you couldn't, I don't want to say you couldn't survive that. But you would do, I think, serious damage to it. There are a lot of strategies that they have employed during this playoff drought that eventually you're going to circle back around to. You know,
yes.
like there are certain ideologies with your team. They're kind of doing it right now.
I was
right?
just going to say, I mean, are we not seeing the big, tough, get mean thing
tough
again
to play
here?
Against? They're the second biggest team in the league right now, and they're acquiring that sort of player. And that's something they kind of did at the beginning of the drought when Lucic hit Miller and they thought they had to be tougher to play against and whatever and couldn't get bullied around. So some strategies you will circle back around to. I don't think you ever circle back around to a hardcore tank. However, if it doesn't go well in the next... It wouldn't happen quick enough to start talking about this kid, even though like he's gonna be a superstar the second he shows up in the NHL,
yeah,
right? Like he's gonna be an 80-point player in his rookie season,
yeah,
level
he's
good,
like Bedard, McDavid level prospect kind of guy. Like,
yeah,
he's really special.
I don't think any of this happens quick enough to where he's the talking point. He's the hope. Other than you know, if the Sabres miss the playoffs and they have 7% to get him, like they have in recent years. Eventually, this is a rebuild again, right? Eventually, it is. I hope it's not for another 3 years, 4 years. And I would have a greater hope that you just kind of eliminate that conversation by making the playoffs. But at some point, we know this. We know there is a date where Dahlin and Tage hit the ejector seat.
Yeah.
And the day they do that, I think you're in a rebuild. Even if you're not choosing to be in one, your team just will be in one automatically. Maybe you have a different GM by then. I mean, at that point.
I mean, you got to think that that would
I can't believe happen you wouldn't.
If those guys are asking out that.
Yeah.
The guy doing it now wouldn't be the guy gets to trade him.
That is really, like, we are a week removed from all the Sabres action, and we're going to be waiting for a Byram trade maybe forever, or at least until, you know, arbitration gets closer at the end of the month. But that is really what's on the line for them this year. It makes it feel more important than even some of these more recent seasons, because now you kind of feel like there is an end date on the horizon. It's tough to know what it is. You know, like when the Dahlin thing came up last year with Paul Bissonnette, that was, I think, greatly exaggerated the extent of his meeting with Kevin Adams. But when that day happened, my thought was, okay, this was expected at some point. Maybe it's a little earlier than I would have thought, but it's actually earlier. It's later than Eichel got to this point, right? Dahlin's been on the team now longer than Eichel has.
Yeah.
So his end date is coming. I wouldn't have been stunned if it had happened at the end of last year. It didn't, and it hasn't happened now, but will it be at the end of this year? Either way, like, all of that is impossible to know unless you are in the mind of Rasmus Dahlin. So, you know, it might not be this year. It could be next year. Either way, this year I feel like there's more pressure because you got to stop the train of stop that snowball effect of now this Paterka wants out, now this guy's going to want out, now this guy's, and then and suddenly it's rolling downhill and you can't stop it.
Right. This season to me feels like the most important, crucial season that they've had maybe since Adams has been the GM. And it's felt maybe it has felt like that every year just because of the nature of the drought, and every year it's 13 and now it's 14. Like, it all grows. Yeah. So that obviously contributes. But I think all of what we're talking about here with the ticking clock on these great players that the Sabres do have, it all ramps up each and every year that you're bad again. And you only get closer to that every year that you miss and every year that you get worse. And so I think every year, if say they lose again this year and somehow those guys are able to handle another one, we'll be talking the same way next offseason. It'll just continue to ramp up and become this pressure cooker. Mm-hmm. And that probably contributes to some of those issues, and it probably contributes to some of those guys wanting out. Is like, I don't want to play under that. I don't want to have to feel that pressure of the last, you know, 15 years in this city.
Sure, yeah.
It's a lot to weigh on you, so that can be tough. But I just, it's, this season to me is everything for that team.
Yeah.
I think if this team doesn't make it this year, like you said, you're forced into another rebuild that, you know, you're going to have a hard, like, you're going to try and trade all those guys for current players and not do a long-term rebuild. All right.
That's going to be tough to do.
Good luck.
You're gonna end up with picks and prospects in a trade like that almost always.
You're seeing how hard it is to get NHL players for a good NHL player right now in Bo and Byram.
Yeah.
And it's going to get easier if you've got four of those guys.
Right.
I don't think it's going to get easier.
I guess, am I wrong on next year's lottery odds? Because Tankathon has the first overall pick at 25.5% to pick number one overall.
Right.
Maybe there's a team that's ineligible because they changed the lottery odds or whatever. How different are the Sabres playoff odds from their odds right now of being the team that lands Gavin McKenna next year? Ooh. By percentage, what's their chance of making the playoffs right now? Gut feeling. Is it 20%? Is it 30%?
With the roster right now?
Sure. As is. Byram's on the team.
I'll go 33%, 1-in-3 chance.
Okay, 33%. I would not project they're going to finish last.
No.
So, you know, maybe it's very different then. Because if you've got them at 33%, and I would probably be around the same number, you know, once you get to the 5th, 6th, 7th from the bottom, you're at 8, 7, 6%.
Yeah.
And at that point, you would say it's probably like 4-5 times more likely that they'll make the playoffs than they would land this player
right
individually. The only reason I'm bringing him up is because I feel like reading about more of him last night and watching some of these crazy highlights and seeing the numbers he puts up, I think I want to go above and beyond. Like you mentioned Bedard. I think he's the best prospect since McDavid.
Matthews.
That trio.
He might be a more
better than Matthews?
High-level prospect than Matthews was. I mean, Matthews was incredible, and he would have been going two or three with, you know, in that McDavid-Eichel draft. He would have been battling with Eichel for that two spot.
Yep.
But McKenna is really, really, really special.
And he's going to Pagula School.
Yep. And it's a great program down there. They have got it all going on.
They've
got a couple buddies that have played there that love it. And it's going to be like, we're going to have to get down there for a game or two next year to see that kid play, because it's really something.
Yeah. I see. When I drove down to see McDavid, was it a dozen times? It was 8-9 times, I think.
Yeah.
It was always knowing the team is doing this and the team wants him and is tanking to get him. And it's undeniable that he's going to be like the best player in the world. And Erie was so close, right?
Right.
90-minute drive down the 90. This Penn State, like, you know, that might be one where like I would go to one, or if they came close by, I would go to get it. But the difference would be, one, he's a little further away, and two, I don't think the Sabres are going to
make concerted efforts to.
No, I mean they could fall into it. I don't think that's impossible either. If their goaltending isn't there and the team starts to fall apart,
right.
I think it's possible. But I would not think they're going to be the worst team in the league.
No,
let's go to the phones. Jerry and Kenmore's first up this morning. Morning, Jeremy or Jerry.
Yeah, we're not allowed to use the word tank anymore. It failed twice, and basically it was the way it was built. This is a league now where men play better than 18 and 20 year olds. And we built this team incorrectly. You know, look, Dylan Strom was a very high draft pick and would have been considered a bust his first 5 years in the league. The same with Sam Bennett. You know, Reinhardt's improvement, even since he's been here, you can get that generational player, but the parts around it need to be way better than we were. They couldn't be that young at all. You know, Devin Levi was a savior. And how long ago was that now? 4 years ago? It's the league is different than it used to be. You can't just immediately come in and make an impact. And, you know, we had a draft. I'm glad we drafted this 6'6" defenseman. You know, the guy that we'll see 3 years from now, and 3 years after that, he'll ask for a trade. It's just, we're built incorrectly. Stop building young. Stop talking about rebuilds. Just figure out how to get the right mix here. You haven't had the right mix here for 10 years.
Yeah. Thanks, Jerry, for the call. That right there, I think, is why this year is so important. Because I think a lot of that is right. And if their season goes poorly, you're going to be forced back into it. You're going to be forced back into, you got to get more young pieces. Because guess what? Your good veterans are going to want out. Eventually. I think that's what makes the season so critical. So anyways, here's some Sabres at the beginning of the show. Got a lot of football to get to today. There was a Bill Barnwell ranking about the Bills' skill position group that I think could get people a little bit fired up. Some quarterback rankings. It is definitely ranking season around the NFL, as we are just a couple of weeks away from training camp. I watched episode one of the quarterback documentary on Netflix with Joe Burrow, Jared Goff, and Kirk Cousins. And there is a level of honesty in that series that I'm going to touch on later, because I wonder if the Bills on Hard Knocks are going to have that same level of, you know, authentic, you know, conversations, mic'd up moments behind the scenes. Because if we get that, I think people are going to love Bill's Hard Knocks. It's going to be very different than the Embedded series that, or Beyond, you know, Blue and Red, whatever that they put out. So we'll see. I want to get to that a little bit too, but on these rankings that Bill Barnwell put out about the Bills and all the other teams in the league at skill position, if you didn't see it, stay tuned. 803-0550 is the phone number. Jeremy's off today. We got my brother Lou DiBiase locked on Eagles as we go through the Bills' opponents this year, this week. He'll join at 8. And I've got Kyle Bailey coming up at 9 o'clock on the Panthers, which I think will be one of the most hotly attended Bills road games of the year. Stay tuned. Joe DiBiase.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Owen Parker, Josh Schmidt. We're all hanging out on a Wednesday here on WGR.
Khalil Shakir will lead the Bills in targets, like multiple games this season. And of course, the APY is a little bit bigger, but you got him for 4 years. You have him under team control. And so if he has highly productive seasons, he has at 1,000-yard season, then he might come back and say, hey, I want a pay bump. You know, I want more than Darnell Mooney money. And he'd be right to do so. But there are going to be plenty of games this season against, you know, AFC East contenders, against AFC contenders in the playoffs, in which Shakir is the primary pass catcher for the Bills. And that primary pass catcher for most elite offenses these days runs you up $30 million. And for the Bills, it ran him 13. That's just pennies on the dollar. It's unbelievable.
That is Benjamin Solak of ESPN on Khalil Shakir. The Bills pass catchers going into the year, pretty low in some rankings we're going to get to here. Good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy's off this week. It's a beautiful day outside. Got some baseball a little bit later on. The Blue Jays. You've got Wimbledon continuing. Djokovic playing this morning. Watched a lot of Carlos Alcaraz yesterday, who's a treat to watch. And he advanced, so he's on to the semifinals and he will meet, I think he'll meet Djokovic in the next round. I'll have to look. But one way or another, I think he's going to end up winning that tournament. So there's Solak on Shakir. I don't think there's anybody that disputes how good Khalil Shakir is. Like, Shakir is a very good slot receiver. I guess the one point of argument for him would be how much is he able to play in different situations than he did last season. Last year was a lot of the slot, a lot of around the line of scrimmage. What about vertical? What about on the outside? Does that even need to happen? The need to happen part of this is where I'm curious. But to get to Bill Barnwell. So Bill Barnwell from ESPN, he every year ranks the top skill position groups in the NFL, combining running back, receiver, and tight end, of course, and ranking all 32. So 32 is Tennessee, and number one, by the way, on his ranking, who would you guess number one is? I think it's the Bengals. Their article is actually kind of freezing right now, but that's fine because I've got in front of me the part of it that matters for our conversation, which is he has the Bills ranked at number 28. Just one guy's opinion. He does this every year. Last year, he had the Bills at number 24. The year prior, he had the Bills at number 20. This year, Barnwell ranks the Bills as having the 28th best group of skill position players in the NFL. And he writes about Shakir being, you know, the best player on that offense outside of Josh Allen and James Cook, I guess, the best pass catcher on that offense. And he writes about how Keon Coleman failed to establish a consistent role in the lineup and how he only had 3 catches on 46 routes in the postseason, which when you see it put like that, Curtis Samuel was anonymous. Dalton Kincaid failed to top 55 receiving yards in a single game, and that Matt Collins was the guy that exceeded expectations, and he is now gone. So he lands on number 28. And while even I would have them higher than that, I don't think it is offensive for them to be that low with the group that they have. There are going to be people that look at that group on paper and say, what really is going on there? Who do you have that is like a real true difference maker outside of, they have two, and maybe this is why they should be higher than 28th. Your running back is really good, and your slot receiver is really, really good. And everything else around that is a bit of a question mark, but you've got two solidified good players at their position. And there is only, you know, there's only going to be 5 skill position players out there on the field at once. Who would be, maybe you'd be offended by the teams that are above them. The Jets are one spot above them at the skill position player group. The Giants are one or a spot above that at 26. The Bears, the Saints. That's a Chris Olave ranking, I feel like. For me, though, like when I'm reading through his write-up on why he has the Bills so low, it just feels like it's a lot of your two swings at that group have yet to hit, Kincaid and Keon Coleman. And I'm, of course, reminded of Brandon Bean's comments on this show after the draft, which were defiantly, we do not need to have the elite level receiver group. We just scored 30 points a game. He said that, I think, multiple times in that visit, that they scored 30 points a game. So I guess Kincaid and Coleman, we spent a lot of this offseason on what are they going to be, them taking big steps forward, and how important that really is to the Bills. And I wonder how important it really is. How important they think it really is. Because if you take Bean's comments the day after the draft, it would imply it really isn't, let's say, critical. It's not critical to the offense that Kincaid or Coleman take a big step forward. The GM told you himself last year doing it the way they did it with Kincaid injured and not really producing all that much, and then Coleman being good at the start, getting injured, not coming back from the injury the way they would have liked, they still average 30 points a game. So it would be nice to have. Is it kind of a bonus if one of them does it? Or is it even, it's not really needed? That is the attitude, though, that I think you can almost take out of those Bean comments. And I don't know that he would fully believe them. And two, I definitely don't. I how critical it would be for one of those two to produce. I think it comes down to how repeatable you think what they did last year was. Because I like Barnwell writing about Matt Collins being gone, Josh Palmer coming in, and Elijah Moore coming in, and he doesn't even mention Amari Cooper. I still believe wholeheartedly that Moore and Palmer are a better combo than Cooper and Hollins were. So I think they have upgraded at that area. But when you look back at last year's offense, if you need Kincaid or Coleman to take a big step forward, that means inherently that you think there's another area of that offense that is going to take a step back. And then the improvement from one of your young playmakers is going to make up for that so that they are still one of the top scoring offenses in the league. And I don't mean like seventh or eighth. I mean like first, second, or third. For them, that's the bar. And for me, there is an area that I expect them to regress in, and that is going to be fumbles and maybe interceptions. I don't think it's going to be sacks, but those negative plays, especially the turnovers, they were as good last year as any team ever. They lost something like two fumbles all year long. Allen not turning the ball over at a rate that is going to be tough for him to repeat. I think that's the more probable thing to stay. Six interceptions last year. I could see him throwing only six interceptions again. Probably would bet a little bit higher, but that's not out of the realm of possibility. I feel like two fumbles again, it's out of the realm of possibility. There's no way they're repeating that. And if you add the league average, I heard Chope and Bulldog say this yesterday, the league average was 8.5, or roughly is 8.5 fumbles per year for a team. And if it's even 6-7, that those 4 or 5 fumbles might not sound like a lot, but that could be the difference between, that could be 35 points over the course of a year, and instead of averaging 30 points a game, now you're averaging 26.
Don't you think also that the flip side of that is also due for the regression in terms of the defense taking the ball and giving it to the offense?
Sure, that's another part too.
Both sides of that are likely to come down.
Mm-hmm.
And that will take points away from the offense too, because you're losing possessions with good field position that set you up to score those points that you need. And so if you're regressing in both of those areas, then you've got even more to make up, and that's on those improvements that we're talking about.
Right. It's giving you more opportunities to score. It's giving you shorter fields. And that's the one where I might be more open to they could sustain that, because they have done that in the past. I mean, right. The 2017 Bills took the ball away like crazy, and there have been other Bills defenses that have. But all this is just, you can't just bank on the value that they had last year in turnovers to be the same. They were tremendous, and they were opportunistic, and Terrell Bernard deserves credit for having the wherewithal coming across the field at 100 miles an hour in the playoffs against Baltimore to be ready to punch that ball out from Mark Andrews. Like, that is a skilled play, but it does also require the opponent being a little bit careless with how they are carrying the football. If it's not high and really tight, you can get it out. But if a player is playing responsibly, and you can punch that ball as hard as you want. How many times have you seen in a pileup, players just start swinging away That's right. Today's NFL. They just start swinging like they're Mike Tyson.
Yeah, and they're trying to haymaker that ball. They're
and they can't get it,
it.
And they can't get it out.
Right.
Because if the other player is being responsible, you just nothing you could do. So it requires the opponent to mess up at the same time that you are making a calculated play like Bernard did. And that's only one of those turnovers. So all this to say that I think, sure, they could be good at it, but repeating what they did last year and getting as much value out of it as they did last year, I don't think it's bankable. I would not bet on it happening. So for that, if they want to be a team that is scoring 30 points a game again instead of 25-26, which that's a big difference, then look around your offense. This is it's always, to me, a compliment to their offense. It's why was there lots of receiver talk leading up to the draft, even though we talked about, you know, safety for the whole Friday leading up to it and the defense even more.
Right.
It's people like to talk about offense. Two, think the turnovers are going to come down. If you're going to make up for that somewhere, there's nowhere else in the offense. The quarterback is as good as you could possibly get. The offensive line is elite. The running back room and James Cook at the top is awesome. The tight ends, I mean, Barnwell kind of, you know, criticizes their tight ends in his ranking, but they're fine. They're good.
And you got to hope that they're going to accomplish what you want them to.
For what you've put into them, you might want them to be like a top five, you know, duo in the league for the money and Knox and the pick that you invest in the Kincaid, but I would still say they are good.
Right.
They're above average. So if I need to get a little bit better somewhere on offense to make up for turnovers, where is the only place to look? Right. There is only one place to look. That's it. And that is where I think Coleman comes in. And Kincaid, too, of course, because he's, you know, going to be a little bit of this because of the, you know, the route participation rate and his route yards per route run last year being through the roof and what his role ends up being. I do think it's critical. Critical. This offense every year should be top three. And I think their turnovers will come down. So someone's got to step up and make up for that. And I think Coleman or Kincaid doing it is pretty critical, unless we're expecting Josh Palmer to be way better than he was in LA or Elijah Moore to be way more efficient than he was with the Jets and the Browns. And those are possible too, but I just feel like the Coleman Kincaid pieces are more likely for that. 803-0550 is the phone number. If you've got a thought on how critical is it that Kincaid or Coleman take a big step forward, or can the Bills still have an elite offense without it? 803-0550 is the phone number. Some quarterback ranking stuff. I had talked on Monday about the Patrick Mahomes quarterback ranking. Is it a saga? Everyone's got their own way of doing it. And yesterday, I saw what could be labeled Patrick Mahomes disrespect on a whole new level. And I'm not even talking about the Kansas City radio host that he has a dad bod and called him an embarrassment, because that also happened yesterday. I'm talking about a ranking that showed him, I think, a little bit of disrespect. But I might be on board with it. Jody Biasi, we're all hanging out here on a Wednesday. 803-0550 is the phone number. Joe Marino, by the way, moved to tomorrow, so we'll talk with him tomorrow at 8. Lou DiBiase coming up this morning at 8 o'clock here on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Welcome back. It's Jeremy and Joe here on WGR. Jeremy's off today. Got some golf in yesterday. We talked about this last week. I have decided, remember our gimme conversation about giving gimmies to yourself? I think I've decided I'm off gimmies to yourself completely.
Well, that's funny you mentioned that. I don't know if you... I think my dad told this story on his show, but he had a really good round last week. Had, on one of the holes, great shot, flubbed a chip, and then stuck a wedge close. Had like a two-foot putt for par.
Yep.
He was like even par at the time, playing really well.
Yeah.
On like 14. Jacks the two-footer because there's nobody there to give it to him, and he was brokenhearted. He's like, I can't give myself the gimme. And I think both me and you, and now he has also joined the train of self-gimmies are they're
yeah,
not to be trusted.
My arrival at this too, though, is like, now that I'm playing, this is only the second year I've done this, playing with like a real handicap. And, you know, you play in your club's tournament, like Tri-County. I've got my member guest next week. And it's, when you play in those, you're not as mad when you miss or post, especially when it's coming up.
Right.
When you post a little bit of a higher score, because then, you know, you're getting your strokes. Don't be sandbagging out there. But,
no.
Like, it's, you know, you putt them out, and you're probably throwing on an extra stroke or two or three over the course of a round.
At least.
See, I don't like that feeling, though, of like, oh, I missed it. Well, at least I get a stroke in this tournament coming up.
It feels gross.
I don't like that.
I disagree there, I think. I don't like that feel. I don't like feeling good about missing and then being rewarded for being bad at a later point.
I still don't know how I feel about golf handicap life on this. I did have the recommendation. We have our new NCAA game is out.
Yes.
Like this year's NCAA game. And a bunch of buddies, we've played in like our own dynasty league, you know, for a whole year now. We've played a bunch of seasons. So we kind of have an idea of how good everybody is.
Right.
So we're in the process of picking what team we start with in the new game. Uh-huh. And thinking about golf and how handicaps work, I'm like, why don't we have a handicap system for NCAA? Like, hey, Ryan is the best. He should have to play with a MAC team while, you know, this guy might be, you know, on the lower end of the totem pole, so he gets to pick a team out of the SEC.
Right.
That didn't fly.
No. I think that
that didn't go well.
Golf's one of the few places where you can be bad at it and people accept it's so bad that you're gonna let me.
I'm gonna give you a head start.
Right, I'm letting you jump on it.
Is it the only thing like that?
That's a really good question.
If you're in a bowling league,
yeah, you're not.
There's no bowling handicap where you get an extra.
You're not taking two pins out early.
You get an extra pin per frame,
right?
Shouldn't you have that though? Why shouldn't we have that?
It's a good point.
Why shouldn't in bowling leagues we have bowling handicaps where, you know, if I average 100 and this guy averages a 250, I get two pins per frame.
I like.
Is that crazy? And you could have that set up where there's only eight pins standing at the end beforehand.
The computer will do it for
kinda,
you.
Kind of like this idea, unless it already exists.
We got to workshop this, Joe.
We got to take a break. By the way, Kenny did write in that if you are looking to go see Gavin McKenna play for Penn State, who's going to be the number one overall pick, they are scheduled to play at RIT in Rochester on January 3rd. So there's an option for you. 803-0550 is the phone number. How did Patrick Mahomes get disrespected by two different people on two very different ways? Tell you when we come back here in WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.